It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tuesday, and this is the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, Tiff here hanging out with you on what is it going to be a very busy morning. Lots of sports news to get to.
Unfortunately, too much sports news to get to for one team in the city. Way too many. I mean, I'm at a loss of words.
Beside yourself.
No, I just don't recall ever a season getting off to a, I don't even know, controversial or just flat out crappy ass start is the easiest way to put it. Oh, I mean, this might be the worst. I especially for a season with expectations. This is, I'm trying to think of like the NFL equivalent, but I guess going, you know, teams that go 0-2 rarely make the playoffs in the NFL. It's not they don't make it, but it's just much harder to climb out of that hole. This feels like an 0-2 start, and you lost one of your starting wide receivers for the next 8 games.
Yeah, and you lost like your, you lost your left tackle for a few games as well with the Ronaldo Lopez stuff going on. So, yeah, and then like there was so much, kind of brave news to hover around. And I haven't been able to wrap my mind around it, honestly.
Well, we will try to help you do that today. You just want to get straight to headlines?
Yeah, you might as well. You gotta roll into this. I mean,
all right, that kind of doom and gloom in regards to the Braves that you were just hearing about has to deal with the fact that veteran outfielder Yerkson Profar tested positive for a banned substance and will begin an 80-game suspension. And that already started yesterday, by the way. This is when the news broke after our show was long over. So that is a major blow to the Braves, who now are winless to start the season after dropping their game to the Dodgers and then getting swept in a 4-game set against the Padres to open up the season.
Yeah, and Grant Holmes didn't look great last night, so that's awesome. Now you get to have Bryce Elder start on Wednesday, which is less than ideal. So you're staring at the best 1-6. I mean, 2-5, I guess, but it's looking like a 0-7 or 1-6 start to your homestand. Your opening homestand on Friday. The ProFar news. I don't know what to say. He was.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Chorionic.
Gonadotropin. It's an HCG hormone that helps you basically produce testosterone. And it's literally the exact same thing that Manny Ramirez got busted for. I think maybe 2009 or 2005 or 2006
or
something.
If I can jump in again, too, it's not just the fact that he's going to miss, 80 games. He's also not eligible for the postseason.
Well, there might not be a postseason.
I know you were going to say
that. So, I mean, I've heard that. I'm on a group chat with some buddies, and they're all big Braves fans, and they're like, he's going to miss the postseason, too. And I was like, gives a damn. We might not have one. This is awful. I mean, I don't know any way to put it, but this is just brutal for Alex Anthopoulos, Brian Snitker. This was the last thing you needed to hear after getting swept, and you then go another, 7 innings of being shut out last night before Michael Harris, who had a really good night from the plate, if you comparatively speaking, went, 2-for-4 with a home run. He had, I think, 2 of the Braves' 3 or 4 hits. So it just, man, it was rough. It's just rough.
There is so many layers to this bad ProFar news that I don't even know where to start slicing it, but here's where I'll begin. First and foremost, he had a career year last year by all accounts. How much of this performance enhancing drug was last year's?
I can answer that.
You can?
Yes.
Well, that's crazy because I feel like you'll be the first one.
So according to his statement, which is passed along to the MLB Players Association, he called this the most difficult day of his baseball career, that he was devastated, and he added that he was tested 8 times for PEDs during the breakthrough season that you talked about last year, and he never tested positive. So this positive test, according to him, occurred this offseason.
Yeah, and I read the same statement, Tiff, but you know what I read when I hear that? I never tested positive last year. Doesn't mean I wasn't taking this drug last year.
That is fair.
And that's where I'm starting to be a head scratcher. You're telling me, and it's funny because looking back on it, all the signs kind of point to this, that in year 12 or whatever it is of your career that you had a career year, that you all of a sudden were way, way better than you had been your entire career. Remember, this is a guy that a couple of years ago signed a $1 million contract with the Padres, a $1 million contract. And so I don't know. It's frustrating for so many different reasons. It's frustrating for the guys in that clubhouse. It's frustrating for Braves fans. It's frustrating for Alex Anthopoulos. It's frustrating for Yrickson Profar, whether or not you want to believe that he had no idea that he was doing anything. I would never knowingly do anything like this. I'm not sure how that accidentally happens, to be honest with you. So I don't know. I'm just dumbfounded by the entire notion that you'll be without him for half the season now. You do, I guess, save that money, but guess what? Whoever Stuart Fairchild is, who hit 132 during spring training, that's not going to be the answer either.
Well, I think you're hoping the answer is Alex Verdugo. I think you're hoping that he can get it together. He didn't join the team until I think March 20th, and you're really hoping that he can maybe get it going and get himself ready to go as quick as possible. Because I've been a big supporter of Jared Kelnick. I'm a huge Braves fan. I support all these guys, but I've always wanted the best. I don't know what Kelnick is right now.
He's bad. Here's my next question, and we'll have to move on. When did the Braves find out about this? That's really my next question, because the Verdugo signing makes a lot more sense from a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, if that's when they found out.
I believe they found out yesterday. Maybe they could have. I find it hard to believe they've known for 10 days, 11 days.
I could definitely. He said it happened this offseason.
Well,
that's what I was.
But the Stuart Fairchild one is the one that when that trade was made earlier in the day, that was the one where you're like, why would you go get another outfielder? That the Verdugo could simply be, we think Jared Kelnick's going to suck this year.
It could, but in the back of my mind, there's also the chance that you pop positive during spring training. The Braves found out. They appealed and appealed and appealed as far as they could, and they knew that it might be a possibility in a couple of weeks that he was going to actually have to announce the suspension. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Verdugo signing was in reaction to that. But, of course, we have plenty of time today to talk about the bad Braves news, so we'll move on.
Yeah.
Do you want me to stick with the bad Braves news?
No.
Well, Tyler Glasnow tossed 5 shutout innings in his season debut. So, yes, the Dodgers beat the Braves 6-1 last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I expected. I really didn't expect Grant Holmes to go out there and shut down that lineup. I mean, they started off red hot. You know what? That's not fair. It wasn't so much about Grant Holmes. I didn't expect him to get any run support, and he really didn't.
No. Yeah, you have to be perfect right now if you are a Braves starting pitcher. You have to be absolutely perfect. That's the nature of the beast. And you mentioned it. You went. What did the total get to? 28 innings without a run scored before Michael Harris hit the tater to left center last night. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm Grant Holmes or whoever it is, Ronaldo Lopez, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, but if I'm Grant Holmes, I'm going out of the mound thinking I have to be absolutely perfect, and that's just not who Grant Holmes is as a pitcher, and it's unfair to ask him to be.
It's I don't want to use the word depressing, but it sucks because you look forward to the baseball season you get a pretty good off season, and
wait, can I get you to hit pause there because I'm going to pile on some more since Mike brought up Ronaldo Lopez. Then you could give that whole spiel that you're about to do about the disappointment. I see the disgust on your face. Ronaldo Lopez has been placed on the 15-day injured list backdated to March 29th with right shoulder inflammation. So they've recalled their right-hander, Bryce Elder, back to Atlanta.
Yeah, and it's kind of something I don't know. It's no secret. We continued to see his velocity fluctuate during the spring training, and now here it is. I'm somewhat upset because, like I said, you look forward to this all. You know, you look forward to the baseball season to start, and it's kind of you get the new baseball season as the new season opens in our year with spring blooming and the Masters is on the way, and you get this turd burger for the first week, and it just sucks.
You hit over the head with a torpedo bat.
I'm a little frustrated. And look, you guys want to blame everybody. I can't blame Alex Anthopoulos. I know the limitations, and we all know the limitations that he's under. He's trying to run this team as best he can with what he's given. And he's not given the freedom to do what the Dodgers and the Mets did in the offseason. He's just not. And he's doing the best he can. And you go make a great signing of what you think is a great signing with Profar, and now he's busted. And you got a guy you depended on last year, was phenomenal last year with Lopez. Now he's already on the IL. I just don't know what he's supposed to do.
I did theorize with Ronaldo Lopez last week that I hoped that he would not develop some soreness in his arm because his velocity was down and he was trying to overcompensate. I don't know that that's what happened, but I know that his first pitch the other night that left the yard went 92 miles an hour, and this is a guy that throws 95 to 98, and then he gets through his bullpen, his bullpen session and develops, shoulder soreness and gets put on the IL and, scheduled for an MRI and all the other stuff. So I don't know. The shoulder thing makes me feel a little bit better about it. It's not an elbow issue, according to them, so hopefully a little bit of rest. You'll get Spencer Strider back sooner than later, and hopefully a little rest for Ronaldo Lopez. He can get back to being himself.
Well, I will. Maybe this will cheer you up. The Hawks are returning home. They'll take on the Trailblazers tonight. Unfortunately, though, they are 19-17 in home games this season. Trailblazers have not fared well on the road. They're 12-25, so maybe things might trend up.
Go deal with business, man. I mean, that's the bottom line. We always talk about getting hot at the right times and playing well at the end of the year and developing players. You've done a great job of developing Zachary Reese. As a matter of fact, I would theorize that Landry Fields at this point is on the heater of all the GMs in Atlanta. I mean, when you talk about the moves, the last 3 or 4 moves that he's made, he's actually done a really nice job. So, yeah, go deal with business against Portland and try to keep this, streak going. towards the postseason, toward the play-in, and see if you can start playing good basketball.
All right, we've got NFL to come in this show. Times. Yeah, we're talking times for Thursday Night Football. They may need to flex. We'll get to that news, and we'll bring you back to some baseball and maybe try to find the silver lining in all this. Stay with us here. We'll be right back on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game back here on The Morning Shift. And not looking too good for the Braves as they start the season winless. Dropping their game 6-1 to the Dodgers last night after getting swept by the Padres to start out the season. And then the news that Yerkes and Profar has received an 80-game ban for PED violations. And so that suspension has already begun. Not eligible for the postseason, if there is one. I know.
You're not going to have him for half the season. And I think it's very easy for Braves fans to wonder what he actually is when he returns. Are you getting the 2024 version of Yerkes and Profar? Are you getting the 2015 version of Yerkes and Profar? I'm not really sure. I'm not going to personally put any stock into whatever Profar could have been for this team this season, because it's just, I'm just wasting energy. To me, you focus on, Jared Kelnick and Brian De La Cruz and Verdugo and Stuart Fairchild and whoever else you want to throw in that depth conversation, surrounding Ronald Acuna Jr.'s return. But the Profar news just hits you like a ton of bricks, because you didn't feel great already after the bullpen's performance over the last few days about what the Atlanta Braves did this offseason. And the Yerkes and Profar news comes down, and then all of a sudden it looks 10 times worse, because that was your one signing. That was the one piece you pointed to. A switch hitter and a guy that had a pretty high on base percentage, brought a little bit of speed, and was a veteran presence. And all the energy you put throughout spring training and everything else throughout the offseason to sign him, and all of the above, the amount of times I've said Yerkes and Profar on here, and then he's just gone. He's just gone in the blink of an eye, and he's gone for 80 games, and he's not a part of whatever postseason trip you might be able to conjure up. So I don't know. Yesterday was just – yesterday, I hope Braves fans in your car right now that are listening can kind of commiserate with us because it was a very tough day. It was one of the tougher – it's been one of the tougher 3 or 4 day stretches I can remember being a, you know, baseball fan in the city of Atlanta. But the Yerkes and Profar news just cherry on top, man. That's the worst part.
I don't want to, you know, be over the top, but it's almost devastating. It's almost devastating because you started this season in a terrible hole offensively, and you needed Profar to help carry you. I mean, you just did. You needed him, and you hope you really needed Michael Harris, too, to kind of step up and carry you from an offensive standpoint in the outfield. And that would, you know, relieve some of the pressure of Matt Olson and Austin Riley that they have. Because you're not really getting any offense from shortstop, and when you do, you sacrifice the defense. We saw that the other night when they let Nick Allen play. He can't turn a double play that, you know, Arcia would have. And so now you're losing that. So that's like cutting your nose off to spite your face at that point. The Profar news, I just don't remember starting a season and so poorly. And I remember you went 0-4 in 2021, but hell, you didn't follow it up with a 80-game suspension for what going into the season was one of your most important players to start the season. And he was. Sorry, if you don't understand that, it was your biggest offseason acquisition. And now he's gone. I don't care if he can't play in the playoffs. Hell, you got to get there. We can figure that out in another day. I mean, we can make a trade to fill that hole because we might be making that trade anyways if Jared Kelnick can't step up. And I know Ronnie's coming back, but you're somewhat desperate right now.
Yeah, and there is a slight silver lining to this, to your point about making a move. My understanding is that the Braves will save the salary. I don't think this is a situation where it's a fine. Like, I think they'll just straight up save the salary that would have been, you know, slated for Jerks and Profar.
Yeah, he
so
doesn't
that,
get paid.
That gives you $6 million. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like in an NFL where you get a fine and it goes to a certain charity or whatever it is. Like, I think the Braves just save that money, save the $6 million. And maybe that's some money you can use. Because, like you said, Alex Anthopoulos is really under the gun in terms of what he's able to actually do. So if you get $6 million to kind of kick around and save, maybe you can go out and get a quality player at some point. But I love the response from the players that were on the field yesterday because Austin Riley talked before the game. Matt Olson is like, dude, we're 0-4. Like, we had to focus on right now. It stinks, but eventually you have to kind of move on and focus on going out winning this game. And, of course, they didn't. And a number of players continue to look awful at the plate. And it's just like getting kicked in the teeth all over again. So,
well, and that's I hate panic. I'm normally pretty like, hey, you know what? Like, let's, especially with baseball, because you have 162 games, and I see people overact all the time, and I've never bought into it. I think it's ridiculous, but it might be time for that players only meeting where you sit down and you talk to guys because...
Who leads it, though? I had the same thought yesterday, but who leads it?
Last year, I would have said Travis Darno and Chris Sale.
Chris Sale's my best...
This year? Yes. Yeah, but I don't know what the hell Chris Sale does for me if I'm Matt Olson or Austin Riley. And I understand that that was the dynamic that this team had in the 90s. You know, I've heard firsthand... I've heard rumors and stories, and I don't want to out anybody, but that there was a young player on the 95, 96 team, maybe it was 97, but still young player, and was like, hey, I tried to take a leadership role, and he was told to sit down by some veteran pitchers on that staff. But I need Matt Olson or Austin. Austin Riley's not a young player anymore. All right, guys, he's been in the league for a little bit now. He's got a contract. He's, you know, I would say Ozuna as well. But I need a Riley or an Olson or an Ozuna, even an Ozzie Albies to step. Ozzie Albies ain't a young cat anymore either.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying in terms of the names you're throwing around, but these are all guys that are not performing at a very high level right now.
Well, yeah, but...
And that's, to me, it's this is like Matthew Judon last year calling a meeting about the pass rush.
But you're... Yeah, okay. But you're five games in. At what point does who you are and what you've been in your career matter? I think it
doesn't always have to be the superstar or the team that addresses the team. I've heard of a lot of situations where it's been just the guy that maybe has been longest tenured.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, if Drake Baldwin stands up and says, "Hey guys, we got to get it together,"
he's gonna get told
to know his place and shut his mouth. But to your point, Ozzie Albies is not the best player on the team by far, but he's been there the long. If you look at the guys that right now are on this roster, he's the longest tenured. So, to your point, Tiff, I think if Ozzie needs to be the guy, and we've seen him be a leader. I think that there's something that, you know, to be just really real with people in some locker rooms. You know, there's leaders on in multiple sides. Like, there's a Latin player dynamic where you've got Ozzie and you've got Acuna, who I don't think he's necessarily traveling with the team, but you've got Ozuna and you had Profar, not anymore, and some of these guys, and you know that, and they have the leader that, you know, that kind of will wrangle them when they're out, and you have other sides, and I wonder how that works. When Freddie Freeman was here, you knew Freddie was the leader. And then when Freddie stepped away, you knew it was Dansby. And when he stepped away, I think Travis d'Arnaud took over. Those guys are gone.
I do wonder if this is Ronald Acuna's time to step into a leadership role.
But again, I don't know if he's with the team.
I'm saying when he comes back, because I don't think they're going to have a players-only meeting this week. But I do think that if he comes back in a few weeks, let's just say the Braves are – you know, 10 games under 500 in mid-May and Ronald Acuna Jr. comes back, I would hope that he would just be the flame that lights the fuse. You know what I mean? And maybe it's one of those by action things. Maybe he doesn't have to have a meeting, but it seems like this could lead to the next step in his journey as a Braves player. And I hope it does. I absolutely hope it does, man, because he is sorely, sorely needed right now. And you need the version from 2 years ago, not the version from April last year before he got hurt.
Well, and that's the other thing. I don't know what you're going to get. None of us do. None of us know what we're going to get from Ronnie. And that's not a knock on Ronnie. I mean, it's just coming back from another major injury. That's why Profar was so important. And because it gave you another bat, another option, a guy that could get on base, a guy that could, you know, still here and there. I hate to say it, Michael Harris might be the most important player on this team right now. I really think that, because he's a guy that can play not only great defense, but if he get, you know, he went oppo last night, so he can get his bat going. That would be so needed for this club. I mean, absolutely, just a godsend for this team.
Yeah. We'll bring you back to baseball later on in the show, but we're talking NFL next. Also, want to let you know at the top of the hour, we'll tell you where Coach Raheem Morris was. It was somewhere in the SEC, somewhere at a private workout. We'll have the details on that. That is at 7 o'clock. But up next, what's ahead for Thursday night football? I'll throw out a word, flex. We'll discuss next when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The NFL owners' meetings are going on this week, and the owners have approved a tweak to league rules for flexing Thursday night games on Amazon Prime, reducing the window for notifying teams of a change to 21 days. The window had been 28 days since the rule was enacted in a contentious vote before the 2023 season.
Contentious. We don't like it. No, I mean, look, it's going to
– I was reading.
Players don't like this. Coaches don't like this. You don't like the changes. Now, granted, in a short term, you know, in terms of, like, how much difference is your game plan and things going to be with a two-day or three-day difference in a game when you're 21 days out or 28 days out, not much. But, you know, it allows you to plan a little bit more – for the immediate future and thinking about things like road games and flights and everything else you need to get done if your family's traveling to the game and everything else. So that part of it stinks. I understand from a business standpoint why they want to get it done, but there's never a chance that the players are ever going to like this kind of thing, or the coaches or a lot of other people involved with the team that are not doing it for financial reasons. It's just the nature of the beast.
The only people that like this are the owners.
In the TV company.
But the TV company is going to end up paying more because the owners are basically saying, we're going to try to give you the best product possible. And when we redo our deal, we're going to make you pay for it. This screws so many people over logistically. You know, imagine having a hotel booked for 6 months for 53 players plus, 10 practice squad players now, and how many coaches, and how many, trainers, and all the people that you have to book a hotel for, and now you have to change all these plans 21 days out. And oh, by the way,
ding,
there's some kind of convention in town. And now the hotel that you're staying in, now hear me out.
The hotel you're
staying in is booked, and you can't get any other hotel in the city. And so now you're staying 45 miles outside of the city because you wanted the owners wanted a little extra in their pocket. And that's where the players get irritated because now you're taking a 45-minute bus ride. What if you're staying in a city where they don't offer police escorts, like Washington, D.C., so you got to stay out? Like, this adds in there's so many things that no one ever thinks about.
So
And it throws it off.
Hans Schroeder, the NFL's executive vice president of media distribution, said the change will give the league a better opportunity to make a timely decision on potential flex decisions. Only one Thursday night game has been flexed since that 2023 vote, moving what would have been a Sunday afternoon Week 16 game last season between the Denver Broncos and Los Angeles Chargers to previous Thursday night. So the originally scheduled Thursday night game between the Cincinnati Bengals and Cleveland Browns was moved to the following Sunday afternoon.
I will say this. You mentioned the only people that are going to like this are the owners. The fans. The casual fans that normally watch Thursday. I mean, you remember that stretch like 5-6 years ago when you were in the middle of the Color Rush uniforms and every single Thursday night game that was on TV was terrible? Like terrible, terrible football games where it's 28-point victories or both teams are, you're in week 15 and both teams have two wins or whatever it may be. So I will say, like, as a casual observer, if you're not involved in this, it's definitely a good thing. And that's the reason why the NFL is going to be able to charge more money for television revenue.
And that's not a bad point. But guess who else is going to hate it? The fan who mapped out in April, when the schedule came out and said, hey, that's the game I'm going to go to. It's a Saturday, and I don't know, where are we this year? Are we on the road? We're on the road somewhere out in the West Coast. And it's like, hey, that's a Sunday game. I'll fly out Friday morning or Friday afternoon, and I've taken my time off. And now it's a Thursday night game, and you got to take – maybe you can't get off. Maybe you've already got your hotel booked. You got to change your hotel accommodations. As far as for the players, as long as this doesn't become, where the Chiefs play, they don't get another, three games in 12 days or whatever like they got last season, which is ridiculous in its own right. I think you can, the PA will be okay with it. But if you start, teams are playing their flex three times in a season where they are on short week, you're shortening careers. Whether you can say it's dramatic or not, but you are. And so that needs to be a real concern. And that's another reason why the NFLPA will really push back on this. And I don't blame them at all.
Well, what were players saying when you were in the locker room, Mike, just about Thursday Night Football in general?
Hated it. Absolutely freaking hated it. And I tell people this all the time. You would have coaches, after a victory, walk in and say, hey, see you Wednesday. That was always the big thing. See you Wednesday. You get Monday. Basically, and I was never a guy that was in enough, a good enough standing to say, oh, I see you Wednesday. I was going to be there Monday and Tuesday. I was going to be in there on the bicycle or doing kettlebell swings or whatever I needed to do to loosen back up. But, just playing in that game, you would not it's impossible to even explain how sore you are the next day of waking up and trying to roll out of bed on a Monday morning, much less actually go and get any physical activity and try to get the soreness out and then go back at it Tuesday for whatever your walkthrough is. And then 48 hours after that, you're playing another game.
So do you just not do anything physically aside from stretching.
You have to, Tiff, and you know this as well as anybody, you have to get the soreness out.
Yeah.
You have to. And that was one of the big things I learned in college when Nick Saban was hired at Bama, was that we would wake up and run 10-40s. Now, they were all jogging, but we'd wake up Sunday morning and go run 10-40s. And, you know, you didn't have to sprint them, but you were going to do it. It wasn't a walking pace, and they wanted you to get the soreness out. And then you're right back at it on Monday going, you know, going at it in full pads or whatever. So it's a whole different beast in terms of the short week. And I can just tell you, the moans and groans that you will hear throughout a locker room when 3 weeks in advance they go, oh, hey, remember that? Remember that Sunday game? Yeah, that's going to be on Thursday in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What?
I think they need to be very calculated with this if they, you know, when they decide to do this, because it needs to be. That's one of the things I've always appreciated. They've tried for the most part. They haven't always succeeded, but they've tried to make division games for Thursday nights because so they're short trips. But I remember Roddy White years ago talking about this, and I don't know if it was on Twitter or he was in an interview. Or he was still playing. I don't remember. I just remember it was his comments, and he was like, you know, basically everything Mike just said is exactly. He was like, and you're just now starting to be able to walk right on Wednesday and Thursday, and then seriously, you want us to play a game. And he's not the only player. That sentiment is throughout the league, and you're again, that's extra wear and tear on the bodies, and it's just I just wonder if. They're going to overdo it with this kind of stuff. And how many times will one team be flexed to a Thursday night because they want to get extra ratings? And I would tell you right now, Kansas City is the first team I look at. Kansas City, Baltimore, you know, look where the stars are. Look where the star players are right now, and that's where those teams will be flexed the most. And they've got to put in some kind of limit where you can only be flexed once on a Thursday night game because – that, you know, that would mean you're playing two short weeks.
Yeah. It's
brutal.
The guys that used to be on, I remember us talking about this one time, and it was like, it's like, honestly, it's like being in a boxing match and then try to do another boxing match 4 days later. Like, it's relatively comparable. Now, you're not getting hit in the face with boxing gloves, but think about it in terms of like a high intensity workout, you know, a hit training or whatever. And then you're also, you know, taking the beating that is, you know, playing an NFL game, and then you try to do it again 3 or 4 days later. It's just terrible.
I push back a little bit because I think you're right, and I wouldn't ease off the boxing match analogy, because how many times did guys not even realize that maybe they had a little concussion and they don't go into concussion protocol, and then they go back out there 4 days later and whammy, they get knocked around in the head again, and then it becomes a little bit bigger. It's part of it. I am all for the physicality of the game, and I think you have to be smart with how you call games and penalties, and you know, you got to take care of the player as much as you can within reason, because it is football, it is a contact sport. You kind of understand what you're getting into, but you don't have to just be dismissive of it completely. And that's why I get irritated with the Thursday night stuff, and they want to overdo it, because I think it's somewhat dismissive of player safety. One hand you're screaming player safety, another hand like, let's do more Thursday night games, let's flex them, let's have more guys play more Thursday night games in one season.
And Mike kind of touched on it, but you know, not everybody's like a Mike Evans, and I think about that because we sat in that meeting like two seasons ago where he talked about what he does to take care of his body. So not everybody's making maybe that kind of money. Not everybody's that kind of player where you can say, all right, I'm taking I'm not saying Evans does this necessarily, but like you may take a vet day, like a Calais Campbell gets a vet day, or, you know, a number of guys that I've covered over the years in the league. And then going back to the Evans stuff, it was the resources and stuff you learned from Tom Brady, but you listen to, and even Calais and talking to him too, you listen to the amount of treatment that they do, not just at the facility, but the stuff they have at home. And so if you're not that kind of player that you play enough to where you are taking a beating, like what do you do to try to take those extra steps to, you know, kind of take care of yourself? So,
yeah, that's where it, these guys, that's why I don't blame players for taking more. There's no such thing, you know, in the NFL, there's absolutely no such thing as a hometown discount. And when, you know, when Kirk Cousins did what he did, and he says, hey, well, you know what, I was injured, and even though I still don't believe it, I believe it was mental, he's doing what's best for him. And that's why so many players, Mike's talked about it, and I believe that so many players could care, they couldn't care less what Kirk Cousins said, because at the end of the day, they see it as he's taking care of him and his family, and that's what most of those guys are. They're all trying to win because they're competitors and they're competitive, but it's also a business. And when decisions like this are made, the owners remind these players that it's a business. And that's when the players will, you know, do things like Kirk did, where they remind everyone else that it's a business and they're getting their money.
So this kind of makes me think of us civilian people who aren't playing in the NFL. And if you're sore, like after a workout or something like that, and if you do heavy lifting or you try to sprint the next day, just how much your body feels it. Since we have a few more minutes left, I think I'm going to join a gym, guys.
Oh.
I think I'm going to join a gym.
Nice.
What kind of gym? Like one of these CrossFit, Orange Theory things?
Just like a gym with probably a lot of the equipment I already have in my place. And maybe, but not all the stuff I already have.
But
a little bit more bells and whistles. Definitely not, nothing against CrossFit. Definitely not a CrossFit.
But I don't see you joining a Planet Fitness or an LA Fitness. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those places, but I just see you more of you're going to a Gold's Gym where it's just workout.
Chewing up
weights. There's no casuals. This isn't business casual.
Oh, my gosh. I'd rather probably have that, but this is an effort to become a little more social.
Okay. That was my thing about it, because I was like, you've always kind of described yourself as a more private workouter.
Yes. Absolutely. I don't want to be someone lingering or waiting to use the equipment that I'm on. No. But had some discussions with some people yesterday, and it was like, hey, you're about to have, a little more free time. Maybe you should try to get out in the world. And so I was
be such a recluse.
Don't be such a recluse.
Yeah.
Bet your sister we said, hey.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I do think it's a good idea, though. You can make a lot of good gym friends.
I don't know if I want new friends.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do y'all have gym friends? Anybody? I mean, I think he's different because he plays basketball.
I'm about to say, I definitely have basketball
now,
friends.
During COVID, I was at the gym when it opened back up, when everything started opening back up, but it was still kind of shut down. I met a guy that was in my neighborhood, and we always worked out the same day. The same time of the day, and we were normally would talk because we were using the same machines. We were doing the same body part that day. So we actually ended up working out for
balls.
For easy. You know what I mean? Muscle group, excuse me. And so we ended up actually working out together. I worked out with him for a couple of years, and it was good because it's the accountability partner. Now I don't work out with this guy anymore.
I have a question, though. Did that relationship stop in the gym?
No,
we
hung out a couple times.
Hey, man, great lift today. Let's go get some Michelob.
Well, funny.
I feel just attacked. Too.
No,
you guys are.
I don't think he drank beer. He's more of he was way healthier than me. But
more
they
of a
lived
transfusion guy,
at the time. They lived. No. He would. I think he just drank less sugary drinks, and whiskey as well. But he lived in the same neighborhood at the time. So he lived in my neighborhood. So we actually we got the wives together and everything. But
oh, wow, that's.
But we played some golf together. But then he moved. So and I changed times. I started doing a morning show.
I miss you, Chris.
Yeah,
his name was Michael. Thank you,
Michael, if you're listening out there.
Miss you, Michael.
All right, when we come back here, we'll tell you where some of the Falcons brass was when it comes to watching a private workout, someone in the SEC. That's just at the top of the hour. We return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.